The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Mercy Sowa. In the headlines, chiefs and opinion leaders in the three regions of the north fight Deputy Trade Minister over corruption allegation. CSOs demand that government comes clear on projects undertaken with oil revenue. Ghana Gas Company devises quota system to employ people from local communities. Former President Rawlings questions the audacity of Western countries to meddle in African affairs. And 11 security officers killed in twin bomb blast in Egypt. Chiefs, imams, and other opinion leaders in the three regions of the north have condemned allegations of corruption leveled against them. They have also petitioned President Mahama to consider competence, experience, and high-mindedness in the appointment of representatives of regions in the north to serve in his government. The submissions were contained in a press statement signed by Alhaji Hamid Al-Hassan for chiefs, Islamic clerics, and opinion leaders of the three regions in the north. This was in reaction to what they term the ill-mannered allegations made by the Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry and MP for Nantong Murtala Mohammed against some chiefs in the region. We bring you more.
The statement said a consultative meeting of the traditional councils of all communities in the three regions of the north, including chiefs, Islamic clerics, opinion leaders, and the larger population, held in the wake of the said allegation, concluded that the chiefs, imams, and other opinion leaders in the three regions are in by no means corrupt, as the Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry seeks to portray to the Ghanaian public. It indicated that the chiefs and people of the three regions have worked tirelessly to sustain the relative peace and stability in the area, and that they will not be drawn into any attempt by any individual for political convenience and ambition to ruin the efforts of government. According to the statement, it is most unfortunate that a member of parliament who represents the people's views in parliament and in government will cast a slur on the image and conscience of the entire regions in the north. The statement said, at no point has any chief, Islamic cleric, or opinion leader received as perceived filthy ill-gotten money as bribes from ministers of government or from any member of parliament. The chiefs made reference to what they described as the counterproductive infighting among the MPs of Tamale, which continues to pose threats to the security of the region, and called for the appointment of more experienced and mature legislators to serve actively in government to bring unity and development to the area.
That was a statement from chiefs, imams, and other opinion leaders in the three regions of the north in response to allegations made against them by Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, Murtala Mohammed. The Let My Vote Count Alliance, a coalition of young patriotic Ghanaians across the political spectrum, is asking President Mahama to do adequate consultation before appointing the next chairman of the Electoral Commission. The alliance is concerned about who becomes the next chairman, as Dr. Kwajua Ferijan will reach the retiring age of 70 in June, and a new chairperson must take over from him this year. The group is calling for a transparent process with full public engagement on the matter. The convener of the alliance, David Asante, in an interview with Radio Ghana, said the next EC boss must be competent, just, and with no trace of political allegiance.
Let My Vote Count Alliance have been involved in the process of at least throwing light on what happened at the Supreme Court. The purpose of the whole group is to enlighten Ghanaians about the need to make sure our votes count, basically. But we are also aware in the next couple of weeks that certain electoral commission chairman would have to go on retirement, and the constitutional mandate stipulates that the president appoint a new electoral commission chairman. All we are asking the president to do is to adhere strictly to the constitutional dictates and provisions, which says the president in consultation with the Council of State. It is very simple. We have picked signal reliably that the president, in collaboration with the party NDC leadership, is in serious meetings with the intent and purpose of coming up with an individual who whose credibility and whose loyalty to MPs cannot be questioned. Meanwhile, our understanding is such a crucial election like 2016, which lies ahead of us. With hindsight experience, one would have thought and expected that the Ghana First agenda should be paramount. We do not need an NDC Electoral Commission chairman. We need an Electoral Commission chairman whose ultimate goal and principal objective will be placing the interests of Ghana first, not securing victory for NDC at all costs in election 2016. That calls for the reason why we raise the red flag on this day. On the issue of impending retirement of the East boss, Dr. Kojo Afarigan, what happened at the Supreme Court is a clear indication of the fact that a lot did go wrong. In order to avert the occurrence of such unpleasant errors that led to the election of a president, all we are asking is let the president conform strictly to what the Constitution says and not go by the NDC dictate of choosing a pro-NDC VC for the country. The Constitution enjoins the president to choose or appoint, but it provides the basic and the fundamental principle of the president going down to consult. Ghanaians have not had the benefit of having a say in that constitutional provision. We have not had the president consult anybody. All we are hearing is from reliable sources the president is just about appointing a pro-NDC person to the high office of Electoral Commission, moving on to election 2016 and future elections, which we are calling on the people of Ghana to raise the flag for the right thing to be done.
Why are you so concerned that the president is electing or going to appoint a pro-NDC person? Do you have a hint of who the person is?
Well, our ultimate reason for coming out to this press conference is to alert the people of Ghana. A lot depends on the person who is going to chair the EC or the commission going into the election. Therefore, most Ghanaians are looking out for the practice as it were, where Ghanaians will have a say in who becomes the chair, so that eventually when the person is appointed or when the appointment comes out, we hope and expect that nobody can confidently align the person to any political party. But from the snippets of information we have gathered so far, we have every right to be concerned. We do not have the mandate. The Constitution empowers the president. However, the president will not put the Constitution aside to do what NDC will benefit.
Convener of the Let My Vote Count Alliance, David Asante. Human rights advocates in Ghana have attributed congestion in the country's prisons to the number of persons on remand. According to them, one-third of the prison population are persons on remand. The human rights advocates are therefore calling on the IGP to ensure that the CID expedite trial of prisoners on remand. Above all, the human rights advocates want a complete overhaul of the country's judicial system to ensure justice for all. Jonathan Osewusu speaks for them.
The lack of codification of reasonable time, that particular law, is now leading people there. So now who determines somebody who has been on remand for a long time or somebody who has just come on remand? If I'm a judge, I may see 2 years as you just came. So if that particular law and the entire criminal code can be looked at, we will be very happy because it will be addressing some of these remand cases in our country.
Jonathan Osei Owusu from the Pulse Foundation collaborated with the Gympa Law School's Center for Law and Development Policy and, receiving funding from Star Ghana, implemented the Access to Justice for Remand Prisoners program.
One-third of the prison population are people who are on remand. Some have been on remand for 11 years, others 5 years. There is a man called Zoru Kuta who was released by the Justice for All project at Cape Coast and Kafo prisons. The man claims to have been there for 36 years. And because there were no records found on him, pieces of statistics put together an event pointed out that the man had been there for over 20 years. And this is pathetic. And this is why we are calling all people to join us, that the people who are there are human beings like us. They have just been accused or charged for a crime but have not been convicted. The Constitution and the laws of Ghana state emphatically that one is not proven guilty unless by a competent court in that case. And so in our work, we realize that most of them were sent even on remand, yet their remand warrant that should keep them there were expired.
Nobody was following us.
They
themselves did not know.
This is the situation.
They didn't understand, because I'm sure you came across where citizens do not know their rights. don't understand the system.
One, even if you know you're right as a remand prisoner, the only thing you can agitate for is for them to send you to court. And if the police officer, the CID in charge, refuses to take you to court, you still remain there. And that is where we are calling on the IGP, calling on the police service to actively take the investigation department so serious and vigorously so that people who are charged can continuously go to court.
The Gympa Law School Center for Law and Development Policy and PAWS Foundation believe that the issue of congestion at the country's prisons is a human rights issue that should be a concern for all. Mr. Osei Owusu again.
We are calling for the prison service and the judicial service to at least implement or come up with a policy where if a remand warrant expires, the prison service will have the authority to ask that remand person to go home, instead of keeping such person for 15 years and 12 years. In Koforidua prisons, for example, a man was alleged to have stolen fowl. This man was sent to court and then was remanded into custody. In the first place, we ask, this is a bailable offense. Why will a judge sit on this case and remand such a person to prison? Then he was in prison for over 6 months where his warrant had expired. He was lost within the system. So if justice for all had not gone to his aid, or if through the wisdom of the Chief Justice and the Attorney General and the various stakeholders, justice for all had not been sent to the doorstep of the prisoner, he would still have spent more years or be in prison as we're talking now.
Access to justice is a fundamental human right. All human beings are inherently entitled to. Civil society is on point that Ghana's criminal justice system needs a complete overhaul.
What we are saying is that if Kwejo Yaya Dede has been found committing some crime, go ahead, charge the person, send the person to court. If they issued a remand warrant, make sure that on the day he or she is supposed to appear in court, the police CID or whoever is in charge, the prosecutor, takes that person to court.
Rebecca Ekpe filed that report, and tune in at 3 p.m. today as we bring you more in a special feature on access to justice. Panelists on GBC's current affairs program Talking Point are hopeful that Petroleum Revenue Management Bill before Parliament will be passed into law by the end of the year. This, they said, would close the gaps under PNDC Law 84, which is currently in operation. The panelists discussed promoting transparency in the oil and gas platform. Dr. Steve Manteau said citizens should be strengthened to demand accountability for what the revenue accruing from the oil and gas sector is used for. He said transparency is not an end in itself, but a means to achieve better proceeds or benefits from the oil sector, adding that calling for transparency alone is not enough.
His expectation is that people will use this information to demand accountability, to demand answers from duty bearers in terms of how the oil revenues, for instance, has been used to the benefit or otherwise of society. And that critical transition from transparency to accountability is what is currently lacking. It's what we haven't been able to achieve so far. But the point is that we need to recognize that the oil and gas industry is a specialized area. And so we find ourselves in a situation where the supply side of social accountability is much more enhanced than the demand side. And so the challenge going forward will be to build a lot of technical capacity within civil society to be able to understand the information that is being provided by both government and companies and be able to use this information to engage and to demand accountability from duty bearers. The more we are able to spread this knowledge within society, the more we can get people demanding accountability and therefore improvement in the way we manage our oil resources.
For her part, the Deputy Programs Manager of Star Ghana, Mary Tobinosei, underscores the importance of inputs of civil society organizations in the oil and gas sectors. She was unhappy that this time round, CSOs are better involved in the activities, but was worried the public is not getting enough information as far as activities of oil and gas are concerned.
The policies are there. Some of these regulations are being followed. but there are still gaps. And a typical example is the discretionary decision making by the minister. If the minister has the mandate to decide where to use the revenue without really reference to the law, also because there are gaps, there are leeway. But at least from the civil society point of view, civil society has influenced some of these policies also to ensure that some of these gaps are closed. And people have information out there. We have some of our partners from SAR Ghana influencing change at the grassroots level, trying to promote dialogue at that level to prevent some of the conflict that we hear in some countries who have benefited from oil.
Ben Bouachi of the Africa Center for Energy Policy expressed concern about the fact that the Minister of Finance has the discretion to undertake certain projects which might not be viable. He stressed the need for him to dialogue with CSOs on the need on the kind of projects to be undertaken.
What is being done now is to spread the revenue theory across so many projects. So you don't see projects completed on time, on budget, and we keep pumping money in there. And 4 years on, you can't point to a project to say that this is what oil revenues have actually started and completed. And that is a big, big challenge. Added to that, because the minister has so much discretion, they prioritize what they call roads and other infrastructure. And other infrastructure now allows the minister to spread revenues even beyond the four priority areas anticipated in the law. So you have defense, you have education, you have all other sectors that have not been prioritized receiving money. So then that defeats the spirit of the law that was thinking that we could actually focus our oil revenue, see results.
Those were panelists on GBC's current affairs program Talking Point. The Ghana National Gas Company, GNGC, has developed a quota system for employing local people into the company in view of the sacrifices they have made in ensuring the successful completion of the Etiabo gas processing plant. The Chief Executive Officer of GNGC, Dr. George Sipayanki, made this known when he presented a 33-seater bus to the Eastern Nzema Traditional Council at Etiabu in the Elembele district of the Western Region as part of its corporate social responsibility. He said two additional buses would be donated to the Western Nzema Traditional Council and the Elderly Home Care Center near Amping to facilitate their movement and operations. He assured communities within its operational area that it would continue to support them with more social infrastructure, including health and educational facilities. Dr. Sipayanki said funds have been secured for the payment of compensation to landowners whose properties were acquired for the Siama Prestia gas pipeline, and urged affected persons to confirm their land documents with the Land Valuation Board for payment. So far, 7 million out of 17 million cedis have been paid to affected landowners. The president of the council, Eulai Amishie Panyili, expressed appreciation to the GNGC for the donation and appealed for more support. He urged the GNGC to put in the necessary safety measures to protect the people and pledged that the chiefs and people of the traditional area would live in peace and harmony with management and staff of the company to accelerate development. The news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Chiefs and opinion leaders in the three regions of the north have taken a swipe at Deputy Trade Minister over his corruption allegations. Two people have been killed in renewed clashes in Bunkurugu. CSOs are demanding that government comes clear on projects undertaken with oil revenue. Ghana Gas Company has devised a quota system to employ people from communities in which it operates. Former President Rawlings has questioned the audacity of Western countries to meddle in African affairs, and 11 security officers have been killed in twin bomb blast in Egypt. Welcome back. At least two persons are reported dead in renewed clashes at Bunkurugu in the northern region last night. The latest incident is linked to the long-standing chieftaincy rivalry in the district. The area has also witnessed land disputes between Konkombas and Bimobas in the district, leading to the imposition of a curfew over the area for a long time. Last night's incident is a major blow to efforts to maintain peace and order in the district. The Northern Regional Minister, Alhaji Mohammed Muniru Limuna, tells Bubu Klinogo what actually happened.
Information reaching us yesterday was that there was a memorial service of one of the people who was killed during the last conflict that they had between the Jamong and the Jafok family, which have always been having these differences in terms of justice disputes. I think they had some misunderstanding in the memorial service, and they started throwing stones to each other. Before the information got to us, we realized that they were now involved in exchange of fire guns. I mean, they were now shooting. So we quickly requested a deployment. So there was already a detachment there that ran to see how they could contain the situation. We were told the numbers were not enough to be able to contain the situation. So we sent more people, troops, to support those on ground. But unfortunately, two lives have been lost as have been this. And still doing the investigation to find out what actually triggered this renewed fighting. And we also go down to put in stop measures to be able to retrieve some guns, because we realized that there have been some proliferation of guns in that time now. But anytime there's any misunderstanding, I'm sure the people is also treating this as a risk. So we're expecting a situational report from DISEC of Bukubi Yungu District Assembly. So we can pick it from there. But as we speak now, the police
know that it is founded upon the universal code.
We sit together as we expect to fix some decisions. This may not be things that I want to see in public, because we want to fix some measures, see how we can reduce the number of arms in the hands of individuals, and also make sure that at least we see some improvement in the relationship between the Jamong and the Jafok family. This matter, we are told, is before court. That's what we do much do not want to interfere with. But it looks as if almost any time there's any gathering, the result of this fighting. So we may take certain decisions just to secure the police and allow the proceedings of the court to continue.
Northern Regional Minister Alhaji Mohammed Munir Lumuna talking to Bubukle Enugu. Former President Rawlings has called for a continental policy and guidelines that will direct heads of state to take effective decisions. This has become necessary due to what Mr. Rawlings describes as bad influence by the Western powers. He took issue with comments made by French President François Hollande on the appointment of President Robert Mugabe as head of AU. Mr. Rawlings said the audacity of the West should not be tolerated anymore. The former president was speaking during a call on him by former Mozambican President Joaquim Chissano at his residence in Accra.
The policy will come back and I'll say, we collect when we're in office. We end up being feeling very nervous when we haven't leaked yet. Once again, I think Buhari is a man of a highly disciplined person. One problem we also have in Africa is that we're very good at living in a state of self-denial. Buhari emerged and had to emerge in order to preempt kind of a very balanced volcanic eruption that was done went through in 1979. And that is one of the reasons why, for instance, Ghanaians or Indian operations were thrown out of Nigeria. So they hope that it would undermine the state of revolt in Ghana. A lot of countries felt extremely threatened, and Buhari had no choice but to emerge and to take over.
On the Nigerian elections, former President Rawlings said he hopes General Buhari will take the bull by the horns and face the corruption canker in his country with all seriousness.
Fighting the extent of corruption that exists in Nigeria, because the people are tired, they're told. And I think it's the hope of the Nigerian people, the aspiration, the desire of the Nigerian. And I think he has to satisfy it. If he can recognize the will of the people to transform Nigeria, quite frankly, I think then he has to then strike a fine balance between that will and energy and allowing some of the restrictions.
Former Mozambican President Joaquim Chissano agrees with Mr. Rawlings. He said an organization made up of former heads of state is critical, since it will help shape and address issues that affect the continent.
We had a meeting in South Africa with the chairperson of the EU, and for the first time, we looked at the Department of International Relations and Courts. For the first time, we had a meeting with the US, and so we had a meeting, and that's why the focus from the CA appreciated and in touch us. And we have now signed a memorandum of understanding between FOR and the African Union. And we are about to sign a memorandum of understanding with the CA for cooperation.
That was the former Mozambican President Joaquim Chissano during a meeting with former President Rawlings. Meanwhile, the University for Development Studies, UDS, has conferred a doctorate degree on the former president of Mozambique, Joaquim Alberto Chissano, for his dedication to the service of humanity and collective fight for independence and equity in Mozambique. A citation accompanying the award, among others, described Mr. Chissano as a courageous leader and outstanding negotiator for peace. The chairman of the Governing Council of UDS, Dr. Abdullahi Baba Salifu, decorated Mr. Chissano with the honors at a special congregation of UDS in Tamale. We bring you the details.
Dr. Salifu said the choice of Mr. Chissano for the conferment of an honorary doctorate degree by the Governing Council and Academic Board of UDS was apt, considering his contribution to the development of Mozambique, the African continent, and humanity at large. The special congregation, which climaxed the third edition of the Africa Leadership Lectures, delivered by Mr. Chissano, also saw the conferment of honorary doctorate degrees on four other distinguished personalities who contributed to the establishment and development of UDS, as well as the graduation of 113 Master of Arts students and three PhD students. The four personalities were Professor R.B. Benning, First Chancellor of UDS, Professor Ebenezer Lin, member of UDS First Governing Council, Dr. Hakim Ahmed Wema, former Chairman of Governing Council of UDS, and now Professor Abukari Al-Hassan, Yenigushina, Chief of Gushi. The Africa Leadership Lectures, instituted by the UDS in 2013, is intended to contribute to a national and transitional discourse on productive leadership culture that will support and enhance Africa development.
That was a news desk report on honors conferred on former President of Mozambique, Joaquim Alberto Chissano. The presiding bishop of Victory Bible Church International, Right Reverend Taki Aboy, has challenged government to put in place result-oriented strategies to solve the nation's challenges. He said the president must walk the talk and fix the energy crisis, as he promised in his 2015 State of the Nation address. Reverend Taki Aboy said this when he launched the church's 30th anniversary in Accra. Rosalind Ganyaglo reports.
Victory Bible Church International is a charismatic church founded on the 2nd of June 1985 by Right Reverend Taki Aboy. From a humble beginning, the church now has several branches both home and abroad, and is a member of the Ghana Pentecostal Council. Right Reverend Taki Aboy called for a nonpartisan national development policy that governments will be compelled to execute. He said the current developmental challenges being experienced is as a result of the nation's failure to develop transformational leaders.
One of the challenges we have as a people is we have what we call our authority. He might not necessarily be a visionary. So what happens is that our cultural background does not make us provide visionary leaders. You could be a person in authority, it's positional, but not visionary.
You heard Reverend Taki Aboy in that report filed by Rosalind Ganyaglo. And in foreign news, reports the opposition supporters in Gabon have set fire on the Beninois embassy and burnt cars in the streets of the capital, Libreville, after the announcement of the death of senior opposition figure André Mba Obame. The 57-year-old died after a prolonged illness in neighboring Cameroon. Two bomb attacks targeting security forces in Egypt's restive Sinai Peninsula have killed at least 12 people, including 6 soldiers and 5 policemen. The attack also left another 44 people wounded, including 15 policemen. Ansar Beit al-Maqdis, which has pledged allegiance to the extremist Islamic State group, claimed responsibility for both attacks. The group has carried out a number of attacks in Sinai since the army's ouster of Islamist President Mohamed Morsi in July 2013. To end the news, the main points again. Chiefs and opinion leaders in the three regions of the north have taken a swipe at Deputy Trade Minister over his corruption allegations. Two people have been killed in renewed clashes in Bunkurugu. CSOs are demanding that government comes clear on projects undertaken with oil revenue. The Ghana Gas Company has devised a quota system to employ people from communities in which it operates. And 11 security officers have been killed in twin bomb blasts in Egypt. The news was presented by Mercy Sowah in Accra.